Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
What do you do when things get hard?
We're taught that we need to, in some way, we need to focus more, we need to work hard, we need to push. And what's really interesting about this topic that I've learned over a period of time and have applied and help other people apply it to their business is the idea of really understanding what focus is, understanding a fundamental universal law, which I'll get into, and then the idea of making a quantum leap by seeking the elegant solution within the problem of whatever it is that you're attempting to work out or create for yourself. So let's understand first what focus really is. Focus is the use of the will. It is the correct use of our willpower. So a lot of times, a lot of people are raised with the idea that will is something that you force. It's not actually something that you force. It's our ability to focus on something for an extended period of time. And we can train it. We can actually use our willpower in a way where we can develop it, and it becomes easier for us to focus on things for an extended period of time. The idea of sustained focus allows us to solve problems, to stay in something for a period of time until we kind of have like a psychological breakthrough or a solution breakthrough, and we get what it is that we're looking for. However, there's something that I think that is very fascinating, worth considering for your life. And really, I would suggest that everybody try this, because it's kind of one of these things that happen that gives you a bit of a miraculous breakthrough. But I'm not going to say that it's easy for everybody to do. Sometimes there has to be a lot of personal development work that happens prior to this before you can get yourself to do it. And here's what it is. It's very interesting to me that when you fall in love with something, that your ability to focus becomes easy. So when we're looking at this idea of finding the elegant solution to something, in the realm of how do I want to create a solution in a problem? How do I want to build a company? How do I want to take my income to multi-millions? How do I want to innovate something in my business? Ask yourself this question. Do you actually love what you do? Do you love the process of what you do? And the reason to ask the question is because think about it like this. Think about when you fall in love with a person. You don't have to remind yourself to think about the person. We actually go into a bit of an obsession, especially in the first stages of falling in love with an individual. They're always on our mind. The point is, we don't have to remind ourselves to think about that person. It also brings out a very interesting creativity in a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people, because love seems to open up something in the heart and in the mind that allows us to be creative and want to do things for the person that we love. That's like a natural inherent instinct inside of all individuals. But where the difficulty in that comes in is, if whatever your situation is, if you're finding out that you don't love the process of what it is that you're doing, to make the change into doing something that you do love, you may have to go through multiple steps. You may have to go through first finding what it is that you love to do, learning how you can earn an income from that, and then working through whatever you've set your life up to be now, so that you can handle those responsibilities and transition over into the thing that you love to do. But when you do the thing that you love to do, the solutions start to become easy. Now, what is the difference? Like, if we're in love with something and we're in love with the process of what we're doing, why is it that the solutions start to become easy or easier? Well, the answer is that the solution's already here. So what's taking place is a psychological and emotional shift within inside of ourself that changes our perception. So now we're looking at things differently. We're able to see more information inside of the thing that we're doing. If we're miserable when we're doing something, or just it's there's nothing inspiring about it, then we're kind of shut down emotionally around what we're doing. And because we're experiencing the emotion of whatever it is, for you that would be the opposite of being in love with what you do. I hate to use the word hate here because that's kind of extreme. Not everybody actually hates what they're doing, but some form of mild dislike really gives you the same result. That emotion begins to take over the presence of your focus. So then what we see is how everything shows up hard for us, if that makes sense. The emotional state that we're in while we're doing something has a huge control over the way that we perceive what it is that we're doing and how we perceive how we're doing it and how we're getting feedback from it. And that's where we get into this difficulty. So whenever I see someone who is really struggling and they're pushing, they're trying to get to the solution by pushing themselves, I'm looking at a couple of things with the person. First question I'll ask that person is, what are you resisting? Because when a person is repeating problems over and over again, when they seem stuck in their business, when they can't seem to move the needle, it's not because the universe is withholding answers or opportunities. It's because either by ignorance or by lack of understanding or by the unwillingness to change, we get stuck in a resistance of something that we should be being, doing, or having, that it will allow us to see to the other side of what we want, would allow us to see into the solution and actually make a change. So what I wanted to share today was a couple of very small chapters, like little one-page chapters, from a phenomenal book that I've taught on the podcast from before, which is You Squared by Price Pritchett. Because the book is about, it's a very small book, right? But the book's like 10 miles deep. It is one of the books that I have always kept with me, and I read it from time to time, several times throughout the year. I'll just pick it up and start reading into it, because the whole book is about how to make a quantum leap in your life. And it could be anywhere. It could be anywhere in your life. The fascinating thing about a quantum leap is that when you do it, it seems to defy normal logical sense. So that is like making a huge jump in your business, in your personal life, in your health, in opportunities that come to you. It defies logic, right? So when I first started doing this, it was interesting because the first time that I did this was way back when I was working on the dock. I made a quantum leap in my income. In 30 days, I tripled my income. I didn't know any of the things that I teach today, not anything. And when I read this book and a few other books, one of the key things that's in here is the idea of falling in love with what it is that you're doing. And for those of you that have listened to the podcast for a period of time, you've probably heard me mention several times that one of the things that I changed about my attitude that allowed me to make that quantum leap when I was on the dock was that I acted like I loved what I did every day when I went into work. And it totally changed my perception. It was astounding. So I'm always hyper aware of if I'm doing something that I don't particularly like to do or want to do, because I can generally shift my attitude around it and find something to be grateful for, something to admire, something to be inspirational about, something to give of myself in the situation. I don't always do it perfectly, but it's something that I practice in my life so that things generally become easy. I have an credible ability to focus on the things that I love to do. I love to study. I love to read. I love to learn. I love to learn about human behavior, individual people's stories. I love to teach. I love to speak. I love to do this podcast. And when I was a kid, when I was a student in school, I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And school was very difficult for me. It was so boring. It was, you know, watching paint dry would have been more exciting for me than school. So, nobody taught me how to love it. Nobody taught me how to change my attitude. Nobody taught me how to bring something to the table, find something in it that is interesting and magnify that. I was kind of like an all or nothing. This totally sucks. I can't wait till I do my time and get the hell out of here. But I've learned over the years that if there's anything that is even close to something that we would like say magical, it's this phenomenon. And it's very scientific when you break it down. Everything in the universe is already here. So that's our standard foundation right there. The way that we take that information or become aware of what's in the universe is determined by the recognition of the desire for what we want to be, do, or have that's internal within us, and then our ability to focus on it for a sustained period of time in order to manifest it in our life, and to do whatever is necessary by the law of cause and effect in between so that we can manifest it from the no thing or just the image in your mind or the desire of what you want into your physical reality. And everybody has the ability to do this. So I'm going to share, a couple things from Price Pritchett. And I think that I encourage everybody to get the book, by the way. Let me just give you the shtick on this book. It is, I believe it's Pritchett.net. Hang on a second. Let me just get this. He's a Canadian, a really great Canadian. So if you want to order this, it's www.pritchettnet.com. Pritchettnet.com. That's PRITCHETTNET.com. And you can, another thing is that this would be a great book for you to get for your employees. And it's small. It's literally like 35 pages, I think, 36 pages. So it's a very easy book to get through, but it really shifts the way the person thinks. Okay, so now that I successfully lost my place in the book, all right, let's start with this. He talks about relying on unseen forces, and there's a great sentence in this chapter. It says, absence of evidence is not evidence of their absence or of its absence, meaning that everything that you need to get something done is already here. When you have evidence that it's not, that is not evidence that it's not here in the totality of the thing. All it is evident that you haven't manifested it yet. But if we come from the truth, realizing that it's already here, then we can do these steps to actually bring the thing into our life in an amazing way. So we're going to start with ignore conventional approaches. He says, get ruthless about trying something different. Ordinarily, we achieve conventional growth because we think along conventional lines. We experience reasonable performance gains because we rely on reasonable approaches. We find ways to make modest improvements in our level of success because we go looking for nothing more. Quantum leaps require that you abandon the status quo. Instead of once again trying what you have always done, maybe with even more intensity and determination, ignore the usual. Quantum leaps require an abrupt change in behavior. Now, I always think I pay very close attention to the language that the author uses when we read books like this, because it's literal. In most cases, it's very literal. So when he says it requires an abrupt change in behavior, that means that it's a significant change. It's fast. It's very much determining a different focus. He says, look for a paradoxical move. For example, consider reversing your field. Try being illogical, ricochet. If you're trying to climb over the wall, open a door and walk through instead. If you're pushing against a river, try to go with the flow. Use finesse instead of effort. You must do something new, and with the emphasis on do. We actually have to do something, folks. The tendency when you stall out or begin to level off in your performance is to go back to the basics and do what you do best. But by doing what you do best can be the worst thing that you can do. It really doesn't matter how good you can do something if it's the wrong thing to do. Faith in the familiar sets the trap, and you spring it when you reinvest yourself in what logically seems like it should work, but because it usually worked in the past, it doesn't. To make a quantum leap, you've got to break out of the rut where you've been running. Second guess your routines. Overcome the addiction to your old methodologies. Set a new pattern. If the things that you're doing have quit working, stop doing them. Focus on what does work. If you'll just quit what you've been doing, instead of doggedly doing it harder, or at least create an opportunity or some space in what you're doing in order to do something else. Quantum leaps come when you seek the elegant solution. So look for an approach that is characterized by simplicity, precision, efficiency, and neatness. It won't be as complex or time-consuming as your present struggle. Overall, it will be less demanding of your energies and emotions, and it probably will not be familiar to you. Making a quantum leap calls for a fresh perspective, a deft move, a path of least resistance. There is a way that you can do more with less. So where do we go from that? Well, let's look at this. Quit trying harder. Quantum leaps cannot be achieved through incremental steps or through more of the same. You have to shift gears. You have to follow a new pattern of thought and action. The rules of what works and what doesn't always change when you're trying to make a move from normal performance to a quantum leap. So stop thinking about it. Here's the way it goes. More of the same usually just gives you more of the same. Of course, if that's mainly what you're after, fine. Try a little harder, get a little bigger payoff. Try a lot harder, and you can expect a lot better results, right? Well, possibly, but it's definitely not a sure thing. Sooner or later, you're going to reach the point where you can't try harder. It may be that your spirit flags or that your physical and mental resources are stretched to the limit, and often well before you come to the set of circumstances that you reach the point of diminishing returns. Trying harder and harder starts producing less and less. Sometimes, in fact, intensifying your efforts produces nothing except bigger problems. So one of the approaches one of the things that kind of directed my course of my life and my business and what I wanted to teach other people to do was the fact that I found myself not only my life getting better when I decided to start to change myself, but I found myself making a series of quantum leaps for about a period of 7 years. And I was astounded by what was happening. In a 7-year period of time, my life changed so much from what it was. And really, the only thing that I did different was the 3 original attitudinal changes that I made, which was do my best every day, treat everybody with total respect, and love what I do. And I just kept doing those things. And more opportunities came my way. And I mean on a regular basis. bigger opportunities that had the it had the which had the, so the, these bigger opportunities that came my way had the ability to give me a much bigger payoff in life. Like the result of stepping into that opportunity was not making small incremental differences, but huge shifts. And like I said, I didn't know what I was doing. So during the 7 years I was studying, I was trying to figure out what I was doing. And I was so grateful that around 1998, this book came into my life. And when it came into my life, I was like, wow, those are all the things. Now, that is the first book that I ever saw that was that concise, that actually showed me what I was doing that was allowing these things to happen. So here's what I want to suggest for everybody that's listening. First, really ask yourself, what is the foundation of the way that you think about your willpower, about how you focus, about the problems that you have, and about where you want to go? Ask yourself if you believe this. Do you believe that everything is already here and that it is accessible to you if you start to become conscious about the fact that it's here and that you have the ability to grow into being the person that can manifest it in your life? If you don't, that's okay. But now you know where to start. So that means that you need to start studying. You need to keep going back through my podcast, go through other people's, really start to learn about your own human potential. Because you have to build that belief up to the place where it's actually a benefit to you, where you can really say, I believe that this is true. I may not know how to get it, but I believe that everything is already here. All the knowledge is here. All the opportunity is here. And if I believe that, I can start to work on the second thing, which is adjusting my perspective in life so that I can start manifesting this in my life. Now, second thing, ask yourself this question. Is there anything going on inside of you right now that's negative? And don't be, like, for those of you that are running to an immediate no, like, no, I'm a very positive person, just pause for a moment and ask yourself over a period of, say, a week, really pay attention. Are you really enthusiastic about what you're doing? Every area of your life now, okay? Are you really enthusiastic about it? Do you have any anger about it, resentment, guilt, shame, unhappiness, anything that's negative? Is any of that going on? Because if there is, that will cause this problem that I'm going to explain next to happen. You will not see what's already here. So the thing that you say that you desire, it will not come into your perception. It will not come into your view. It's already here. It's already in your life. But it won't come into your view if you're thinking from a negative perspective. Number one, that energy changes how you approach what you're doing. And it also gives like a direct command to your brain and your visual cortex so that you cannot see all of the things that are actually around you. You only see the things that are resonating with the emotional state that you're in. So that we call that a block, or we call that a blind spot. Also, you've maybe heard me use that language. It's very important, right, to just sit back and ask yourself these two questions, because number one, if you believe it, now you have another reason to change your attitude, so to speak, and ask yourself either, how can I love what I'm already doing? And I do believe this. I believe that if we focus on love, if we focus on gratitude, if we focus on happiness, we can find things, even in the worst scenarios, that we can love about something. And believe me, it will change everything. At least until you find out what it is that you are, you know, automatically in love with that you want to do, and then begin to slowly make that change for yourself. As you make that change, you're going to see something happen that everybody that I work with finds absolutely astounding. It's one thing for me to talk about how many millionaires I've made, because it is a lot of people. It's another thing when I tell you how fast they became millionaires. So I've taken people all the way from being broken on the verge of being homeless and had them millionaires within 12, 15 months. And then even, you know, people that are at $300,000 a year, $200,000 a year, at any amount. But the idea is that when I look at their business and help them come up with a plan for where it is that they want to go and how to get there, what are the action steps? That's one thing. But the change in their belief system and the change how they approach every day from an emotional perspective and what they move through in the different activities that they have to do within their business, it changes everything. Because they'll literally come to me and say, here's all these problems I have with my business. I'm not getting any leads. My marketing's terrible. Nobody's coming in. Nobody wants to buy anything. We've got all these difficulties. So I'll work with Steph, who is, she's not only the CEO of my company, but she's in charge of the marketing arm. She's like the marketing manager in the company. She's a brilliant marketer. And we'll look at what they're doing and see, are there any tweaks that need to be made from a strategic approach? And sometimes there are. Sometimes they're big tweaks. Sometimes they're little tweaks. But usually it has nothing to do with those tweaks that cause this change to happen so fast. Yes, the tweaks have to be there. Yes, we have to be doing something from a cause and effect basis that allows us to get a result. But here's the thing. Everybody gets this result fast that I work with. Every single person that does exactly what we show them to do and they do the internal work, they get the results fast. So there's no reason that everybody that's listening to this, I don't care where in the world you are, that you can't apply this and you can't start to get those results in your life in an amazing, very, very fast way. You don't even need to buy anything to do it. What you need to do is to look at where you are in your life and start applying these principles, and you're going to see that it starts to change. Now, one last thing that I'll add to this, because here's a place that where we can get hung up with it. Frustration and fear. Frustration and fear will kill you. Everything will come to a frickin' halt if you get stuck in frustration and fear. It is essential, absolutely essential, that you stay in gratitude and not frustration. Frustration usually comes when we desire a result so much because we're so afraid or so unhappy of the situation that we're in. If you would just let it be for a while so that you can actually see that this works, it'll be much easier for you to really develop the idea of letting frustration go. And with fear, the fears that are going to show up are very unique to the individual. It's based on your subconscious programming. So what fear represents in this situation is the fact that you're moving forward. Because generally, there's nothing to be afraid of. And you've heard me say many, many times, we're only born with two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. All other fears are learned. So when you're going for a quantum leap, when you're building a business, when you're trying to increase your income, you're doing things that are different, which most people would call risky, right? So it creates those fears. Sometimes we have fears that it won't work, or when is it going to work? I hear those things all the time. You don't make the fear go away. It's not like we can push it out. Just let it be there, but focus your attention on what you love. Focus your attention on looking for the elegant solution, like Pritchett points out in his book, U Squared. Focus on the thing that is very apparent that you have to step into, whatever it might be. Maybe it's that you need to step into sales. Something that you're resisting doing is the key that unlocks the door that allows this quantum shift to change. And remember what I said at the beginning of this podcast. It's remarkable when you fall in love with what you're doing and you can control your love. When you fall in love with what you're doing, you don't have to force yourself to focus on anything. So force is out, right? We don't want to force. We want to stay away from force as much as we possibly can. What we're looking for is power, right? Big, big difference. And when you move into love, when you move into a quantum leap, when you move into this idea of thinking, what you really do is you're taking your natural human, individual, divine or universal power, and you're directing it specifically at one end. And you'll find that it comes into your life really fast. All right, go out and do it. And you know what? Send us emails or send us text or social media blips on how you're doing with this. Love to hear about it. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.